Nothing to approve.
Joel, call this meeting to order. Retarded. Everybody had a chance to look through last month's minutes?
Make a motion to accept the minutes as you read.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Accounts payable, we got Wex for $359.90. Holden, $5,574.95. Holden Company, $1,100. Rocky Mountain Power, $1,982. Larson Fire for the pump testing, $5,350. Stevens Truck Power, $70. Ashton's, $850. Prime Power Sport, $40. G&L, propane for Garrison, $728.50. Tire Shop, Fillmore, $189.87. Then we have an add-on for pennies for Greg, a chainsaw for Greg. Is that right?
Yep.
For $1,200. Yep.
It's a husky diet. Thank you.
Huh?
Any questions on that?
How much do you pay the bills?
Second.
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Have you approved the minutes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got because of the first of the year, like it always is, we're going to have just expenses, no income. And that's on that first page. It's printed on both sides when I printed this. I don't know why. But, again, that title free money is line item there at the bottom, so you can see, you know, how much is outstanding. That credit on the Zions Bank credit card, Delta City credited us back a deposit on the use of the RJ Law Center, so that's the reason there's a credit on there. If we compare this year to last year, that's the very last front page. We're just a little bit less than last year as far as total expenses. And so we're, even though, and it, most of it's at $52,000 from the, that was spent in the general, for the capital general fund, January 2025. Other than that, it would be substantially less, even though the O&M payments have increased. So. And then, of course, budget, it matches what we agreed upon, in the November meeting and the December meeting. So there's not really much change, or there's not really anything too far outstanding. I don't include any outstanding checks because they've all cleared. So.
That's good.
Yep.
got any questions for Sean? Really about the only thing on the agenda is to discuss possible change for the district party that's in January. It usually falls on fire school week, and then on the Wednesday and Thursday of right before fire school, they have chief's meetings before fire school. I think it'd be good to get more chiefs out to them. They have some, a lot of the house bills that deal with the fire, you know, some pretty good information that goes along with it. And then you get a little more better one-on-one time with the vendors and stuff like that.
So what's your suggestion? Move it a week ahead, or
yeah, maybe move it to the second week or something in January. That way, it shouldn't interfere with fire school.
And I talked to Brian Ashton and mentioned that maybe if we did an RSVP or something, they could do like prime rib or something, because it wouldn't have been. I mean, it'd be more, but it wouldn't be significantly more.
Okay. I asked him for prime rib for Hankins, and he didn't give us prime rib.
Oh, he didn't?
I gave him plenty of time, too. So I don't know what's going on with that.
You worked for him.
I know. No, not for him. His brother.
Bring that up at the employee meeting.
So I guess if someone wants to make a motion to move January meeting to the second Wednesday of January.
I'll make a motion. Move chief's meeting to the second week of January.
Well, you have to move all of the
district meeting, yeah.
And the dinner.
Oh, everything.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Is there any other business?
Well, I needed to talk to this group for just a second.
Jason's first. Coleman's assistant can go after you.
A few months ago, I mentioned our old international heavy brush truck that is down. I didn't have prices at the time. Now, everybody I talked to wanted to sell us a $30,000 remanufactured transfer case. I got Stevens Truck Power to drop it out for us, and I hauled it up to a gear shop up north. It's sitting there, and they got split open. The tech called me, and he said it's going to be between $8,000 and $10,000. Just for the repair, it broke an intermediate shaft in the transfer case, which broke the fork. And then he says whatever little parts as he goes back together. So I guess I'm asking for some help with that. The caveat to that is it's still a 1997 4800 International. It is at the top of my list to replace with a grant as soon as I can, but as you all know, even if I got that money tomorrow, I'm still 18 months away from a replacement truck, and I need something this year. So I'm asking for some help with that. The other side of that is the engine in that truck is a DT-466, and it has smoked since we got it. In the last 2 years, that smoke has increased significantly coming out of the breather. So I'd almost like to say, I got a quote from Stevens Truck Power to do an in-frame in that engine. It was $18,076 to in-frame that DT. So I guess I'm throwing this out there and see what help the district might be able to offer us in the repair. The transfer case repair is already underway, and that's going to happen either way. But that's I could make that work in my budget, but that's a lot in my budget. We'd like some help with that, but I just kind of want everybody's thoughts on, A, can we help with that, and B, is it worth it if I need the engine rebuilt on a 30-year-old truck or something?
How many miles that truck got on it?
Yeah, it's not very many. So
probably less miles than it had hours.
Yeah.
So we picked that truck up in 2008 or 2009, and it had a bad engine when the BLM sold it to us cheap. This is still the same engine.
Yeah.
Yes, it was bad when we sold it to us.
Yeah, it was bad when they sold it to us. And it's been a great truck. And honestly, I'd put that truck over any of our militaries, anything else as far as capability and what it does. It is a great truck. I would say if it was repaired, it's got at least another 10 years in it. But that's not going to stop me from actively pursuing a grant to replace it.
Yes.
But every one of you knows what it's like to try and chase a grant to replace an apparatus. So.
Yep.
So I'm just thinking about, you know, mutual aid. You know, I'm just wanting to advocate for what Jason's trying to replace, because that helps me, right? Because them guys back me up 90% of the time. So
that truck's been to Scipio a few times.
Yeah.
The one's not too bad. You can go down the hill and come back.
Yeah, it's not a speed demon on the pavement either.
I know last time I seen that truck, I ain't seen it in a while or specifically looked at it in a while. That truck's in pretty good shape.
It is.
What I remember.
It is. It is.
The body's clean. The cab's clean. The paint's still in really nice shape and all that from what I remember last seeing.
Yeah. It is a phenomenal truck, and the only reason I say it's at the top of my list for replacement is just simply age. Just simply, it's a very capable platform. It is a good truck.
And it will be good for 10 years if we can get all the stuff done.
And it's a lot cheaper to buy another one. Because I've been chasing grants, I've been looking at Type 3s, and they start in the $300,000 range and go to the $800,000 range.
Very quick.
So, thank you.
So if we can come up this truck for $25,000 to $30,000, then we got it for 10 years, even if it stays in the district. If we happen to lucky on a grant and get a new one.
Yep.
That can stay in the district.
Somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's my thought on it. If the district would possibly pay for the engine rebuild, and you guys pay for the transmission rebuild, can you work to make that work in your budget?
I think we can make that work. Yeah. It makes this year tight, but I think we can squeak through. I mean, we all know what it is to squeak through a budget, too.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on what comes up this year.
Yeah, depending on what comes up this year, but absolutely. And the nice thing about that is right now, while it's still before fire season starts, if we pull the trigger on this, we could have that in-frame done and have it ready.
Yeah.
For fire season this year and have that very capable platform back in service. So,
my one question is, do you want to start the in-frame before you get the transfer case and make sure that's all functional and here? Because I sure hate to pay the in-frame and then have the transfer case guy say, oh, by the way,
I
can't find that shaft anywhere. You're kind of out of luck.
I think that would be the plan, because that guy made it sound like he should be able to have it back to me within a couple of weeks when I did talk to the guy at the gear shop. And like I said, I chased that because it's funny finding somebody that will actually open a transmission anymore. They just want to sell you a remap. But, yeah, I got it up to that guy. He said he should be able to have it back to me in a couple of weeks. So.
And he's familiar with that thing. I mean, he's done that.
Yeah.
The thing he's concerned about is if we broke the case and we hadn't, so.
Yeah.
Do you give some sort of warranty with the rebuilding of it?
You know, I didn't ask, so.
Breaks.
Give you at least a year warranty or something like that. Because normally, if it's going to fail, it'll fail right away.
Yeah.
I mean, if it makes the first year, it'll be the next 10. But.
I didn't ask him that question, but I can absolutely ask him that. Yeah. I think they should stand behind anything they do with something.
Well, I think most gear shops give you, like, at least a 90-day to 1-year warranty anyway.
Run the hell out of it for 90 days.
Yeah. Well, you use it for 90 days at the beginning of the...
Yeah, there's the thing. You got 90 days. I don't even go out on a call in 90 days.
You got to drive to work.
You get it. Give it to me, I'll put some miles on it.
Yeah. Is that going to scrap your budget to do the transfer case out of your...
It will.
It'll pinch us. What about this as an option? What if the district was to help us with the transfer case and we put that engine off until next year while it's down? I'm sure it'll go another season. I don't think that DT-466 is going to fail catastrophically. I can't outguess when it will fail, but I would put it a year out plus. But then once you get past another season, who wants to be on that truck out on the fire ground with an engine that you're starting to have some doubts on, you know what I mean? And that's why I had the thought of right now while we've got the truck tore down, you know, maybe it'd be time. But I'd be fine with the idea of pushing off that engine rebuild for another year too. But the caveat to that, I did have them quote that engine in June, and he quoted me $15,000 in June and $18,000 this morning. So, you know.
Yeah, so the price is only going up.
The price is only going up to rebuild an engine, too.
I would say on that, if you're already questioning it, there's obviously some issues.
And I would say the reason I question it is because it is getting just a little bit worse. It is starting to use a little bit of oil. Traditionally, I mean, we've had that truck almost 20 years, and it's not burned a lot of oil. It's just always had that blue cloud that comes out of the breather. And now it is starting to use a little bit of oil every year between oil changes. So, I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's heavy there. But
yeah.
The DT-466 doesn't typically fail catastrophically. It fails slowly, so...
Phil, you better watch out. He might try to replace you tonight. You blowing blue smoke?
I guess my question is, what can you guys comfortably afford, and what would you like the district to help you
with? That's the big question right there.
Comfortably afford, is that what you said?
I mean, not kill your budget the first year, you know.
I have a hard time answering that because, again, as you all know, with your budgets, we don't know what's coming at us, and we have some money set aside. Yeah, the $11,000, we could do it, but it would be tight. So I'm just asking for whatever help the district might be able to offer. I know the precedent being we've typically helped departments when we have recently we helped Metal get a truck because they lost an engine. You guys rebuilt your previous 620 engine. I mean, so yes, we can absorb it, but I'd just rather not, because you know how it is with a budget.
Yeah, I don't think they should have to absorb that much. You know, that is an asset for
that's a lot
for a lot of the county right there. So.
So I know right now, I mean, we have our budget and otherwise, but I know right now we're making some pretty good interest income off of what we got in the state reserve. I don't know that. I mean, interest income. Correct me if I'm wrong. Looks like $15,980 for January.
Yep.
$15,000.
Yeah. That's for 1 month of interest of what we got sitting in the bank, which. I mean, I'm not saying we need to start spending money like willy-nilly, but this last year and a half, 2 years, interest has been up a bit. we've been kind of banking that money, not really spending it anywhere. You know, I think we probably got a little bit of money there.
$8,000 to $10,000 on the transfer, yes.
That's an important...
Well, so let me back up a little bit. That's just repairing the transfer case. We're fine with absorbing the cost of paying Travis's shop to shove it back up into the truck when it gets back. Like I said, we made that decision just for simply cost. Even Travis wanted to sell us I think he had us at $25,000 reman. He found me. Just they don't deal in gears at Stevens Truck Power. They do engines, but they don't do transmissions. And yeah. I found a shop that does 18 speeds. They know transmissions, so.
We got a question for Landon. What can we spend the Title III money on? Has to be wildland stuff?
No, it's supposed to be spent for, the way I understand it, it's supposed to be spent for fuels mitigation work, really. We have used it in the past to put tires on trucks because we've used trucks to
do that kind of work.
I know you're not supposed to buy vehicles with it, although Sevier County seems to purchase an ambulance with their title every 3 or 4 years.
Purchasing vehicles, we're repairing them.
We used it here with the district to do that fuels project in Leamington 1 year.
What's up, Cole?
So we do already have our PC statement committed already. We're 30 grand over what we need. So that CWS money, 150,000, you guys probably just dip into if the district wants to do it.
What my thought is why don't we take care of this transfer case stuff, get that in, and let's run it for just a little bit, and maybe do the motor this next fall or winter.
I'm personally
just to be 100% sure we don't have another failure.
I'm happy with that because I'm confident it'll go through this season. I just wanted to be perfectly transparent that I'm asking for money to repair a truck that I know we've got the next thing coming at us down the road, too. So
I think I'd feel good with making a motion of paying for the transfer case and then revisiting the motor next year or the end of this year and then decide.
How much more of that motor being is when he says it keeps going up to rebuild something?
Yeah. It's inflation, man. I mean, you can buy a house right now because in 5 years it's going to be another 100 grand. I mean, it just is what it is.
I like the tiered approach.
I just know I've worked on a lot of pieces of equipment and otherwise. And I've seen guys put a transmission.
Yeah, just table it.
And then decide to spend a whole bunch of other money and then find out that, you know, that transmission's junk and now you spend all this other money when...
No, I completely agree with that.
I just think...
They'll second that motion. So if you guys are good with it, we'll have to... If we're not an agenda item, we'll have to...
I make a motion we bring it up next district meeting.
We put it on the agenda next month for approval. Yeah. You can continue and get it done.
Well, like I said, at that point, I might even have a dollar figure for what it's going to be, too. So,
yeah. Bring it
up.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't want to overstep what Travis said, but it sounds to me like I'm gathering from the room that it would pass. So if you needed to start moving forward, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, we already pulled the trigger. Like, one way or another, we need the truck. If we had to spend it out of our budget, we knew that hurts and that would be tight. But we'd already made the decision. He's already in the transfer.
Yeah,
so.
Gotcha. All right. I guess moving forward, you know, you guys got stuff like this.
Beforehand.
Get it on the agenda.
Okay.
Then approve it, you know, if we discuss it and kind of approve it as a group, but next month we'll have to make it official. So.
Planning, you're in the deal?
Sure. I don't have a lot. I went up to the UCAC meeting last week. That's the meeting where there's usually a lot of municipal fire department members or chiefs there. There's usually a representative that represents the rural fire departments is there. It's where they set a lot of the standards that we fall under with our MOU agreement with the state of Utah and the CWS agreement that Copeland brought this to have signed that we voted on last November when we signed the warden budget and everything else. They finally got that ironed out and got it done, a new document that incorporates everything that they wanted it to look. There's one specific for the fire district, there's one specific for the county, and there's one specific for each municipality. The municipal ones I'm handling, Thomas and myself, our area manager and I, we're sending those out to the municipal departments and dealing with those, so that's not anything on your radar. But in these agreements, these are the agreements that allows your fire departments to function with the state of Utah, so you can apply for these grants, so you can get paid on fires when you go out on fire assignments that are fed fires or delegated fires, things like that. Anyway, that's that agreement. Some of the things that they bring up in this meeting are like rates, new rates and things like that. When they want to dispute a rate and change it, they bring those up. We discuss that. Nothing was really discussed about rates this year. I think everybody, except for people that are putting together REMS teams are remote emergency medical, teams, yeah. So it's like a remote paramedic that can respond to fires on the mountain somewhere and things like that. Some fire departments are putting those together. But other than that, we really didn't talk about rates, but a couple of things that were brought up that maybe need to be on your radar as the fire district. additional layer is, what is the additional layer of liability coverage for your equipment from the state of Utah? So you guys all fall under your municipal workers' comp insurance and things like that. But the state also covers you a little bit. They have a little bit of liability coverage if you're responding within the state. If you decide you want to take a truck out of state, there is no legal liability limits on out of state. You're just not covered on out of state stuff. You're only covered by your city, your municipal fire department. I mean your municipalities. So keep that in mind if you want to send a truck off district, out of state somewhere. The only exception to that going out of state is if you take one of those EMAC assignments or a compact with another state. So the state enters into compact agreements with other states. If you're taking one of those assignments, you are covered, but you're covered under the state that you're going to respond into. Their state's liability coverage covers you guys. So keep that in mind. We don't run into that a bunch in Miller County with your district. You don't send too many trucks off district. Occasionally, you guys have done that. I think Holden sent a truck to Washington once and up to Spanish Fork once, and Kenosha sent theirs to California with Copeland and I one time. Anyway, so keep that in mind. What else did I say, Greg?
Members on different teams.
Oh, right. So when we operate in big fire situations, we have teams that come and take over the fires, right? And a lot of these team members that are on fires have been in fire a long time. People that run your logistics, people that run your plans, people that run their finance divisions, people that run ground support, so like your mechanics and things like that. Like, there's people, these teams are really big. And a lot of times the people that are on these teams are like ex-fire guys from Fed side, from municipal fire departments, from all over the place. And they're usually picked up on as an AD, a call when needed emergency firefighter. And the federal firefighters program, like Forest Service, BLM, National Fish and Wildlife, those guys are the ones that sponsor those ADs, we call them. And with everything that's been going on with the federal government and all the changes that are coming down, they're starting to drop all of those AD positions, or they're having to drop. Usually, each agency usually has about 10 or 12 in their local area that they can host. They're not being able to do that anymore. So your fire departments might be getting phone calls from random people saying, hey, will you let me be on your fire department so that I can still get on my team, my CIMT team, and do this in the summertime. The state, state of Utah, we don't want that to happen unless, I mean, we don't have a say in that really, other than, you know, our reason for having our agreement with you guys is to provide reimbursement and bolstering of our state resources for fire suppression, wildland fire suppression within our state of Utah, and helping out here. And so if these guys are coming to you and want to participate, they really shouldn't unless they're actually going to be on your department. They're actually going to bring something to your fire department, whether it be training monthly or whether it be responding to fires with all the rest of your volunteers. I took a bunch of phone calls from people that were being dropped off of this program last year in the fall, wanting to find out if it was okay if they called Richfield Fire Department and got on Richfield's fire department roster so that they could bill through our CWS program, right? How you guys get paid through fires and stuff. So just know that if you get a phone call from somebody, there might be an ex-Fed guy from Kanosh here that lives here that might want to participate on a team, and he can't anymore. He might reach out to the fire department and say, hey, can I be on your fire department so that I can participate on this team? Then all of his billing would be done through your agreement with the state. It would come back to the fire district. The fire district would get reimbursed for his time, and then the fire district would have to cut that person a check, which we've done that in the past. That's not an issue. I don't think that's ever been an issue before. It's just they were legitimate fire department members that were doing assignments on water tenders or things like that, where they were on a fire for a couple of weeks and got paid that way. So just keep that in mind if you start getting people reaching out to you. It's been a problem in the other counties in the 6-county area. So
sounds like a mess.
It's a mess. I think that's about it. Our MOU agreements that you guys get paid for, they don't have to be, they're not just for, they used to only be for wildland fire suppression jobs and work done, but now they can be done for all hazard stuff, so floods, hurricanes, whatever. Our MOU agreement now says that we can pay you guys if you guys want to participate on helping with the flood in Sevier County or helping with the flood in Cedar City or going back on a hurricane relief effort back in Baton Rouge.
That'd be all right.
Looking for a space shuttle parked in Texas. I did that one. Anyway, so the MOUs have changed that way. Again, we don't participate that way a whole lot, so we'll just keep that in mind. That's all I got.
That's it?
There's other stuff, but nothing that really pertains to you guys.
Copeland, does he have anything else?
Mind if you got anything else?
Mind if Copeland have anything.
Your fuel, your film. Your
he does.
I can't turn the page. Your Pavant bench project that Copeland just mentioned in the Chiefs meeting. That's one of the top two priorities for our Central Utah's WUI program, our fire and fuels program. Doing the fuels mitigation work. That's one of the top priorities, so you'll see some work getting done on the bench of the Pavant here, trying to clean up that property that's miserable to try and respond to fires in, and could be catastrophic if we had something big start. We've had a lot of close calls. Virginia Hills has had a couple of close calls. 2019,
excuse me.
You got something?
I'm dying. That's it.
Anything else?
Maybe we can adjourn.
Second.
You?
Great.
I made a motion. Yeah, you did make a motion.